Let us all pray. O Lord, our God, we bless you at the beginning of our time of worship, that we can come and praise your great and holy name, that we can come before you with great joy. And we thank you, O Lord, for your greatness and for your saving name. We bless you indeed, O Lord, that you dwelt in eternity. And O Lord, our God, we thank you that from eternity your Son came in time. And we thank you, O Lord, that he came and dwelt amongst men. We bless you indeed, O Lord, that he was full of grace and truth. We bless you indeed, O Lord, for these wonderful two excellent qualities. And we bless you, Lord, that your Son was full of them both. And, O Lord, our God, we bless you for that great demonstration of grace in the lives of those shepherds, and for the great demonstration of grace down through the last 2,000 years, and for the great demonstration of grace in our own lives. For, O Lord, our God, we recognize that we were no better than anyone else. In fact, many were far worse. And yet, O God, we thank you that you have said in your word, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And the incredible thing is, you have mercy on us. And, O Lord, our God, we would come and we would render to you thanks and praise and worship, because, Lord, our God, you are worthy of all praise. We do long, indeed, O Lord, that we might have a closer walk with you. We pray, indeed, O Lord, that we might know you and serve you. We pray, O God, that we might dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, and that we might know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might know what it is to be filled with all the fullness of God. We pray indeed, O Lord, that as we gather here in our worship tonight, that you might be pleased to come and to meet with us. We pray indeed, O Lord, for those going through difficult times. We realise, O Lord, that the pathway to heaven is often difficult. It's often perplexing. And yet, O Lord, we thank you that we have your promise, that my times are in your hands. Your people are part of the body of Christ. And we do pray indeed, O Lord, that they might be very much aware that your people are upholding them before the throne of grace. We pray indeed, O Lord, for others going through difficult times, bereavement and anguish. And O Lord, our God, we pray for all who are suffering at this time, and pray, O God, that they might come boldly to the throne of grace, that they might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. O Lord, our God, hear us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now let us turn to the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 4. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those for whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fail according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So reads that precious portion of God's wonderful word. Well, let us all pray. Oh Lord, our great and glorious God, we thank you for the gift of humour. We realise, O Lord, that you have given it to us in order that it might be rightly used. We bless you indeed, O Lord, it relieves tension and pressure. And, O Lord, our God, we bless you that you have granted it to human beings. We know, O Lord, that man is so perverted that he will abuse that. But we bless you indeed, O Lord, for its rightful use. We thank you indeed, O Lord, for your word and for your truth. We thank you, Lord, for the greatness of the gospel and for the wonder of salvation in your Son. We bless you indeed, O Lord, for our fellowship over many years. And we pray indeed, O Lord, that you might be pleased to continue to bless this fellowship and to take for your servant Tom as he leads the work here and use him for your glory. Keep him from the evil one, O Lord, and grant that he might know the anointing of the Spirit, not only in the preaching of the word, but the preparation and the leading of the work here. We pray indeed, O Lord, that he might be able to say with Spurgeon of old, that the reason for the blessing of the Lord on the ministry is that my people pray for me. Amen. And we do pray indeed, O Lord, that by your grace, that he might ever know that he is esteemed very highly in love for his work's sake. And we do pray, O God, that you might use him in the coming year, and that there might be great things that take place here at Belvedere. Amen. And that your people may grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we pray, O God, we beg of you, O Lord, that sinners will be saved. Amen. We pray indeed, O Lord, that you might turn many from darkness to light. Amen. And O Lord, our God, that many brands may be snatched from the burning and that many may come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray indeed, O Lord, for his wife and family, that you might protect them. We pray indeed, O Lord, that your people here will ever be a source of encouragement to them. We do pray indeed, O God, for our troubled world. We think of that situation out there in Istanbul. We know, O God, that this is a land that is very unsympathetic at the moment toward the Christian church. And we do pray, O God, for those who have suffered bereavement today, many policemen. And we do pray, O God, that you might be pleased, O God, to come in at this time and restrain the hands of wicked men. Mm. We think, O Lord, of the situation out there in Aleppo. We cannot even begin to enter into the sorrows of these people. And we know that there are your people there. We pray, O God, that by your grace, that you might sustain them. And we pray, O God, that very soon aid might be able to come to these needy people. Mm-hmm. O Lord, our God, what a wicked, evil world we live in. And yet we are told in your word that the whole world lieth in the wicked one. Mm-hmm. O Lord, our God, we do remember that situation out there in Nigeria. And, O Lord, our God, suddenly in the worship, the roof falls in, and many, many believers lose their lives. Lord, we pray for those who are bereaved. Show yourself to them, O Lord, as the God of all comfort. O glorious God, we realise that you are a great God, and you're a gracious God, and you're a sovereign God. And we do pray indeed, O Lord, that you might meet with each bereaved family and show yourself as the God who comforts those who need that comfort. O Lord, our God, hear us, we pray. We pray indeed, O Lord, for our nation at this time. We have heard today, O Lord, of the sacking of a dear believing nurse. And O Lord, our God, we do pray that the appeal may be successful. And Lord, we pray that we, your people, might know when to speak and when to be silent. But O God, help us to be graciously fearless with regard to the truths of your word. O Lord, we pray that we may know what it is to have truth on fire, that it might be a living truth, and that we might reflect that living truth to men and women. O God in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we realise indeed, O Lord, that this world has never been a friend of God. And we realise, O Lord, that down through the centuries there have always been those who opposed your work. And we do pray indeed, O Lord, that we might be bold, but not aggressive. That we might be bold, graciously bold, and lovingly bold, and thoughtfully bold. But O Lord, our God, help us. And grant that we might be faithful witnesses to our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear us, O Lord, we pray. And be with us as we shortly turn to your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to draw your attention this evening by way of encouragement to that great verse in Hebrews 4 and verse 16. But in order that we might get it in its rightful context, we'll begin reading at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. These are wonderful words. Words of great richness. They're amazing words. And oh, how we need to come time and time again and look at these wonderful and glorious words. Every privilege that we have as believers has not come cheaply. Every privilege that we have as believers has come at an incalculable cost. Take worship, for example. We have gathered here this night in order that we might worship the great God of heaven. How is it that you and I can do this? Because we have been justified by faith. We have known what it is for sin to be removed. And we have known what it is for the perfect imputed righteousness granted to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather here tonight because of his amazing love. And it is amazing love. Love to the loveless. It is a love that is far greater than affection. It was yearning in the very heart of God to make enemies friends at the cost of his only begotten Son. We have the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What an amazing privilege that is. And yet we have been adopted at the amazing cost of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. For yet Jehovah laid on him the iniquity of us all. And we also have the great privilege of prayer. What an amazing privilege it is. We have that door of heaven opened, and we can come at any time, in any place, under any circumstance, and we can approach this glorious God who sits upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. And yet, because he dwells in eternity and we in time, he is able to hear the prayers of his people continually. We look at verse 14 and we see that great high priest, that one who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. And while he is there, we need no other priest. For we have the great high priest, and he is there sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And because of that, we are to hold fast our profession. But we do not have an unsympathetic high priest. We do not have one who distances herself from us, but he sympathizes with our weaknesses. And he was in all points tempted as we are. He knows what it is to be a man. In fact, he knows what it is to suffer anguish and pain. He never knew what it was to suffer sickness, but he knows what it is to suffer anguish and pain. And it is perfect humanity to know that, because we have emotions that are stained by sin. But he was totally sinless, and his feeling of pain would have been far greater than we know it as those who are sinners saved by grace. And because of these two great things, the writer of this amazing letter encourages us. He says, let us therefore, let us. He's speaking to himself as well as these believers that he is writing to. He is exhorting them. In verse 11 he says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. And here he is saying, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There is a throne of grace. It is not a throne of judgment. It is a throne of grace. And a throne is a chair of state. It is a seat of majesty. But it is full of grace. God's gracious, free favour. In other words, he's not on this throne to find fault. Not at all. He's there to dispense grace. God giving us the opposite of our deserving. We have a great high priest. A great high priest that became that unique sacrifice and bore away our sin in his own body on the tree. And we have access to this amazing throne in all the changing scenes of life. But how are we to come? We are to come boldly. Or we are to come with confidence to the throne of grace. You think of a little child, and that little child has confidence in their father. And they come with great trust. They know their father well, and they know that their father loves them. And they're able to tell their father everything. It is the opposite of being fearful or distrusting. You see, we can come to this throne of grace and we can be open there. We can be up front there. We can hold nothing back there. For that throne of grace doesn't point a finger at us. That throne of grace welcomes us and is ready to receive us and is ready to hear us. We can come openly, maybe with questioning. Why, O Lord, is this happening here? We are coming through our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. That one who made a great sacrifice for us. That one who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And we look at his life and we see how wonderfully true those words are. We can pour out our hearts like water in the presence of the Lord. How have you come here tonight? We come here with perplexities, and we come here with a measure of sorrow. Have you ever come here thinking to yourself, I've messed up this last week? I said things I shouldn't have done. I thought things that I shouldn't have thought. And my friend, you can come boldly. You can come confidently. Because you're coming to a throne of grace. You're not coming to a throne of judgment. You're coming to a place where you can be open. And you can tell it all in the privacy of that throne. What happens here at the throne? Well, it's an amazing thing that happens. For there at the throne, we obtain mercy. We obtain mercy. We come to the throne of grace and we obtain mercy. Not because we're fully surrendered, but we obtain mercy because of grace. You think of people begging in the street sometimes, and you see them in London, and they beg often in vain. We can write to our MPs, and we write to them, but so often it's in vain. But we are coming as sons to a Father in heaven, and it's never in vain. Well, if you were to take the love of all the fathers that there has ever been and you were able to put it all together, it would be but a drop in the ocean compared with our Father's love for us. Well, God's love is an amazing love. And what we receive is mercy. And mercy speaks of our need. Mercy speaks of our weakness. Mercy speaks of pity. Mercy speaks of compassion. Somebody said that compassion is your pain in my heart. You can never know the pain of another person. But he does. He knows your pain in his heart. You remember Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians and chapter 12, that great chapter that is often quoted, that here was Paul the Apostle with a thorn in the flesh. And we do not know what that thorn is. It has been hidden from us. And over the last 2,000 years, there have been many who have sought to suggest what that thorn was. But I do believe it's been hidden from us in order that we might identify ourselves with that thorn. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And Paul goes on to say, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Think of the high priest. Once a year, with great solemnity, great seriousness, entering in to the Holy of Holies. The bells, the door. On us, we can go at any time with freedom and confidence. What a privilege. What do you need at the throne of grace? Well, that grace comes in the person of the Holy Spirit. For we are not only saved by grace, we are kept by grace. And we have an amazing comforter, one who sympathizes, someone who feels the hurts with us. You see, a person can sympathize, but not really help. But the word translated comforter in the Word of God is to pull to one side. He's an encourager. And he's always there to help as we live for Christ. The word comfort comes from two Latin words, come, which means with. And fort, comfort, fort, means strength. He comes alongside and he gives strength in the particular situation in which we're found. A comforter here is not someone who pats you on the shoulder and says, keep your chin up, my friend. He's someone who gives us strength exactly when we need it. How have you come here tonight? How have you come here honestly tonight? You may be going through a very difficult time in your Christian life. Things may be going very bad for you. You may not know what God is doing. You may have a heart that is aching, a heart that is torn in shreds. Then come to the throne of grace. And know something of this amazing comforter who comes and he understands and he's able to give you strength and he's able to give you peace and power, that you may know his gracious and loving and kind presence. Jesus said that he would send the disciples another comforter, one of the same kind. And the Holy Spirit, as equal to the Son, is able to encourage, as Jesus did his disciples. You know, if you look at a dear believer who's known what it is to go through great trial and great tribulation, and you look at them and you see that they know what it is to go to the throne of grace and know what it is to draw grace from the throne of grace and know God's amazing, wonderful, gracious peace. I have a friend and he was born with brain damage. And he has calipers on his legs. And his hands are deformed. And he's able to hold down a full-time job as well. And he shepherds a little flock just outside of Southend. And I have never known that dear brother ever to complain about his lot. He's a single man in his mid-40s. And naturally he would love to have got married. And he never has. And whenever you speak to him, you say, how are you, Chris? He always replies, I'm very well, thank you very much. I've seen him going down the high street in Southend in his wheelchair. And that dear man, I look at him, and I see something of the reality of Hebrews 4:16 in his life. And many of you could stand up tonight and you could testify the truth of these words. Not only because you read them in the Bible, but because you have experienced the wonderful truth in your own lives. There have been impossible situations, difficult situations, painful situations, and yet God has helped you and given you grace to help in time of need. Do you need patience to endure a difficult situation? The Holy Spirit is there to grant you that. Are you in a difficult situation? Then ask for the scriptures to be brought to mind. Look for the word of God that you might know the very promises that you can rest on in the situation in which you're found. You need courage. Courage to face a difficulty. Then, my friend, you're able to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are there difficult choices in your life? Then say, not my will, but yours be done. Give me wisdom in these choices, and give me grace once the choice has been made to do that which is right in your sight. It would enable you to accomplish the will of God, no matter how weak and effective you feel. Do you know what it is to have fear? Do you know what it is to have fear? Maybe fear as you're getting older, or fear of what might become of your children as they grow up in this godless society. Maybe you're fearful of people. You remember how Paul put it to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God gives. A spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And grace takes away fear. And the very bottom line in fear is self-preservation. Self-preservation. And a person can be totally liberated from fear. If somebody and a birthday comes round and they receive a most thoughtful present and they get totally wrapped up with the present. Maybe Christmas comes round and they get totally wrapped up with the present. Maybe a particular game that a child has. And so easily forget the giver. The gift of grace from the throne of grace causes to savour the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It causes us to delight in him, to rejoice in him, to make him the very centre of our lives. Why don't things sometimes change? We long perhaps that we might have a change of a situation. Why don't they often change? It is that we might make much of the throne of grace. That you and I have all things working together for our good, that we might ultimately make much of the throne of grace. Because God has so purposed our lives that we become dependents of him. And that we know what it is to come to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the word help there is a very important word. It means to run to the cry of somebody. And what we have here is an amazing picture of God on a throne, but of a great God who runs to the cry of his people. He runs in time of need. That old hymn says, when we have exhausted our store of endurance, our Father's forgiving has only begun. When I used to go to Eastern Europe, and I saw the sufferings of people there, I remember going first time ever to Poland, and it was just after martial law had been introduced, and I was recounting it today. And I can remember stopping at the first military checkpoint just in the Polish border. And I handed my passport to a young soldier. And he looked at my passport and he said, "Ah, Kevin Keegan." And I said, "No, Ray Birch. Kevin Keegan couldn't come today." But we went on. And we went to Bydgoszcz. And I saw my friend with his family. And all they had was dry bread. And I sat with them. And all around them there were people in hunger. And I said to him, if there was one thing you would want people in the West to pray for you at this moment, you know, what would it be? He said this, revival. We need revival. Poland has never known revival. could so easily have said, we need more food. We need an easier life here, in this sad situation in which we're found. We're hungry. But you see, they knew what it was to come to the throne of grace. And they had spiritual realities before them. On another occasion, I met a brother who had death threats on him that previous week in Romania. And you would never have known it. He came in and his face was aglow. His face was alight. I have another friend who has been in the ministry many years and he has bone marrow cancer and Crohn's disease. And I saw a picture of him on Facebook recently and his face was alight because he had known what it was to come to the throne of grace and there obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the wonderful thing is you can never wear out this amazing throne. It's always available. You can never come too often. The road is always open. It's not worn out. It has been accessed by the Lord's people for 2,000 years in various situations. And it can be accessed by you tonight. When you and I have difficulties, that throne is available 24/7. You have a difficulty in your place of work, access the throne of grace. A difficulty in your family, access the throne of grace. Even my friends, when you don't know what to say and you can't pray, you know that the throne of grace is ever there. Some people have been so ill they haven't felt they can pray. But God understands. And other people pray for them. And down through the years, this throne of grace shows no sign of wear. And it has given grace to thousands and millions of the Lord's people. And it's inexhaustible. It is totally inexhaustible. It is given daily. It is enabling God's people to continue in the Christian life. If we have a great high priest, which we do have, if we have Christ with us, and if we have Christ in us, and if we have Christ for us, and if we have this great high priest there in heaven, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, we have his perfect righteousness. We have the cleansing of his blood. We have access, and what a glorious access it is. And we have one who sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. One who doesn't point a finger at us, but sympathizes with us in our weaknesses, and knows what fierce temptations are, for he has felt the same. And he did it all without sin. We have one who understands. Think of royalty in our land. You may wonder if they understand ordinary people. I'm sure they try to. But we have one who understands because he's been here. He's known what it is not to have a place to lay his head. He's known what it is to go through sorrow, heartbreak and suffering. He's known what it is to go through disappointment with his own disciples. He's known what it is, my friends, to do it all without sin. He's known what it is to go through bereavement. For he wept at the tomb of Lazarus. And we have one there in heaven who understands. And the great comforter is able to come and give strength and grace even in the darkest hour. But one last thing this evening. Have you ever come for grace? You see, when we come for grace, we have to come as beggars for the first time. Or we have nothing to commend ourselves at all. We have no way of entrance but by grace. God's grace, undeserved kindness toward men and women. And you must come, my friend, as you are. Hold nothing back. Come in all your need to the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is readily available to you. It's good to see the children here tonight. And he's ready, available to you. And I pray at this time of the year, in the same way we shall receive gifts on the 25th of December, that you'll receive the greatest gift of all. A gift from God. Gift wrapped in love. To all who will receive him. Or to as many as received him, gave he the right to become children of God. Come tonight as you are and receive him, and then know what it is for the rest of your life to have the privilege of coming to the throne of grace in all the different circumstances of life. Come as you are and trust in the Son of God. Turn from your sin and turn to the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us therefore come boldly. What a privilege. No other religion has that. No other religion has that. Every other religion, you're never sure whether you've done enough. No other religion has a throne of grace. Come that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How often have believers gone through difficult times and suddenly at the right moment grace has been given. Just at the right moment. Not before, but at the right time. Grace has been given to them in time of need. And in your situation where you may be found tonight, I pray that God will be true to his word and give you grace to help in time of need. Let us pray. O Lord, our great God in heaven, we thank you that you look at us as we really are. You know any anguish and pain that there may be, any heartache, any tears. We thank you, Lord, that there is a throne of grace. Place where we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We thank you, O Lord, for the many times when we have found this text to be true to our own experience. O Lord, we realize that your word is true because you have said it and we have come to know it. We pray, O God, for those in our midst tonight who are going through dark valleys. May they find that grace to help in time of need. We pray indeed, O Lord, that Comforter will come. They might know a strength outside of themselves. That they might know the peace of God which passes all understanding. O Lord, we pray that in mercy and grace, that you might meet with them. And God, people may continue to be an encouragement to one another in these days. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.